My congratulations to all of the mothers who are here on Mother's Day, and I hope this day will be filled with joy and much happiness for you. It suddenly dawned on me today again that I am married to a grandmother, and that and she's in Texas with our grandchildren, so I'm sort of badly disorganized at home right now. But happy Mother's Day. Home is where life makes up its mind. That's my subject for the morning. And I read the last few verses of the 7th chapter of Matthew, page 841, verse 24, if you'd like to follow me along. It's the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This is the word of God. Thanks be to him. Let us pray. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. When he came to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord, at least as it is recorded here, told two stories side by side. The point of both stories is that there comes in life a moment of crucial choice, and the choice has to do with the foundation upon which one is to build. In Palestine, a place which might be a raging river in the fall would be a dry riverbed, even a picturesque riverbed in the summer, just a harmless-looking gully, where at the edge the ground would be smooth and level, an easy place to build and generally inviting. Without thinking, one might select it even as a building site for a house. To do so would be a foolish and a bad choice. Foolish because with the coming of the autumn rains, this harmless gully would become a raging torrent of water, sweeping everything away in its path. The wise builder looks for a solid foundation, a rock upon which to build, so that when the rains come and beat upon the rock foundation, the house will stand sturdy. Both stories are about foundations. Foundations that will endure and stand the test of time and weather. It's not coincidental that he concluded his Sermon on the Mount with this set of stories. The famous teachings of Jesus on how to live and the principles by which we live are contained in the Sermon on the Mount. And it seems to me that on Mother's Day is a perfect time for us to look together at these two stories. For home is where the life makes up its mind about everything that really matters. Home can launch us into life with positive joy and strength to face life, or it can restrict us and wound us and send us forth with psychic baggage that we carry for a lifetime. It depends upon what happens at home and the kind of foundations upon which we build. So today, for a little while, let's look at these two stories together. The first thing we notice is that in both stories there is building. Both persons are selecting building sites, a place upon which to place a foundation and to build a house. We're all builders in this world, building a life, building a career, building a home, building a family. As builders, we fall into one of two categories, a wise builder or a foolish builder. We either make the right choices or the wrong choices. And even if we choose not to make a choice, we are really making a decision. And I rather suspect that oftentimes in our lives, we all of us move in and out of being wise and foolish builders depending upon the choices that we are making. If as parents, for example, you choose to let your children decide for themselves whether or not they will come to church, participate in church, and a part of that decision on your part is not a very good example on your own participation in church, I can tell you with rare exceptions how that's going to turn out. Your children will ultimately not go to church. Or if they do, it will be a rare occurrence at Easter, Christmas, Mother's Day, a sort of a nostalgic gesture toward something that was always on the fringe of things as they were growing up. To build a well-founded life, you have to build on a strong foundation. To build a well-founded home, it has to have strong foundations. And those foundations are rooted on the choices that we make. David Siemens, in an interesting book called Healing for Damaged Emotions, tells the story of one day being in an auto dealer's place of business and talking with a salesperson. And as they talked, they looked out and there was a man in the center of the showroom. He was walking around, seemed intent on giving each car some careful scrutiny. He was kicking the tires, raising the hood, opening the trunk, opening the doors, sitting down inside, looking at this, looking at that, turning on the lights, tooting the horn. The salesman, interestingly enough, Dr. Siemens noted, made no move toward the man. And finally, the salesman said, "You see that man out there? He's what we call a wheel kicker. They are the bane of our existence. They come here all the time, but they never buy anything, for they can't make up their minds. If the motor is cranked up, they will hear a knock in the engine that 10 mechanics cannot hear. He will kick the tires and say, 'You know, these tires are out of line.' He will find something wrong with everything in the car. He is afraid to choose. He can never make up his mind, so he's always making excuses." It's a story that impacts the heart of life for many of us. We're always looking, never choosing, never deciding. Life is always in a state of limbo, and therefore we're not building anything. We cannot make the commitments that matter. In relationships to church, men are always shopping, never joining. Just shopping, never joining. Always doing research. Do I like this one? Do I like that one? Is the choir better over here or over there? What does Ken Axelson like as the choir director? You know, whatever. Always shopping, never joining. Never taking root. In relationships, we're always dating. Never ready to make a commitment that is the heart of any relationship that matters. And you know, let me tell you, relationships have life and movement. They either lead toward the making of a commitment or they die, crash land under the weight of their own inertia. I had a couple in my first pastorate. I guess they were a couple. I don't know what they were. They were engaged for 23 years. It was a sort of a tired friendship. God only knows what that was. Never ready, able to move toward the making of a commitment that is the heart of anything that matters. In home life, we're always procrastinating, never deciding. The lessons of these two parables are clear. Those who build have to decide. If you're today trying to build a strong family life, you're facing some realities that must be faced. The family in our society is under tremendous pressure. The well-being of our children, particularly adolescent children, has declined sharply in this society. I'm reading now the best-selling book, The Day America Told the Truth. There's a chapter in that book that deals with what they call the death of childhood in America. And it's a very, very sobering book. It reveals, among other things, that children sexually lose their virginity, both boys and girls, around age 13. Can you imagine? Test scores on college admission tests are declining. American teenagers have the highest pregnancy rate among industrialized nations. Delinquency rates have accelerated since 1960, as have accidental deaths, homicides, and suicides among adolescents. Children are growing up in a society today where drugs are prevalent, where there is no consensus or restraints as to sexual activity, and where violence is celebrated all day long on television. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you that a well-built home must have solid foundations. We are builders. Parents are the chief architects of home life. The church is your strong partner, but you must get them here for us to nurture and teach. We cannot bring them. You must bring them here. In a book, Why Not Celebrate, by Sarah Schenck, I ran across some things that are called children's just desserts. There are some things that our children deserve from us as parents. Children deserve a mother who makes sure she finds the support and nurture she needs so she can wholeheartedly love them. Children deserve a father who loves their mother so much that he'll cook sometimes and fold diapers and vacuum the floor and tuck her in the bed. Children deserve a mother who likes herself, a father who likes his work and wants his children to know why it's important to him, a mother who gets rid of clutter, who knows how to conserve and recycle and keep things simple, a father who thanks his wife for the supper even when it's burned, and who remembers when his son spills the milk that he used to spill the milk too. Children deserve a mother or a father who will rock them to sleep with a lullaby and tuck them into bed with a story and a prayer. Children deserve a father who can take them for a walk through the fall leaves rather than buying them another trinket. Children deserve a mother or a father who takes them to the library every other week and comes home with an armload of books about people who dream great dreams and overcome great, great difficulties. Children deserve mothers and fathers who are willing to slow down from the rat race long enough to enter into the wonder and discovery of them. And friends, let me tell you, even if you win the rat race, says a recent writer, you're still a rat. Children deserve a mother and a father who will allow them to work alongside of them, a mother and a father who are selective about what they watch on television, who will sit down and spend time reading and playing games instead of lazily flicking on the TV. Children deserve a mother and a father who participate in a church fellowship where young people are the central part of worship and life. Children deserve a mother and a father who have an extended family network for backup nurture. Children deserve a mother and a father who know how to celebrate in honor of the giver of all truly good gifts. Well, I could go on, but friends, we are builders. We are builders, and good building takes a strong foundation. But note also in both of these stories that the storms come. You know that old song, "Into Each Life Some Rain Must Fall"? It's the theme song of Atlanta of late. It's rained every day. Betty Davis, in her Oscar-winning film All About Eve, said, "Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night." There are bumpy nights in life for all of us. And in both of the stories that Jesus told, he talked about building the houses and how those houses on those foundations faced the storms. The rain came, the winds blew, the water rose in the riverbed and beat upon the foundation that had been laid. One house stood, the other collapsed. Whether we build wisely or foolishly, the storms come in life. Peggy Shriver, in a little bit of verse that she wrote, talked about hoarding strength for the shadows yet to come. We all need strength in life and in family for the shadows that are inevitable to come. You know, we hear so much of the storms that beat upon the family today that we're almost immune to it. We hear a report on the news about a wife being beaten or a child abused, and we think how sad that is. Then one day, the abused child is your grandchild, and the battered wife is your daughter or the neighbor down the street. The storms have come upon us. You cannot face the storms of life unless you have built wisely and taken the time that is required to lay strong foundations. One cannot be a family in a hurry. One cannot be a family without persevering. One cannot be a family and face the storms of life unless there is commitment to each other in the family circle and a commitment to God. A hurry-up lifestyle, hear me carefully now, a hurry-up lifestyle results in a throwaway culture. Things that should be lasting and meaningful are sacrificed on the altar of temporary and superficial. You cannot build a home in that kind of way, on the temporary and the superficial. This means that the central relationships in life are to be treated seriously, not casually, and held lightly, and just as easily cast aside. When the storms of life come, and we have built temporary things and superficial things, here's what happens. Friends walk away instead of working through. Partnerships dissolve rather than succeed. Neighbors no longer visit and relax, but they erect stone walls and exist in isolated islands. The aged are resented and not honored. Husbands and wives divorce rather than persevere. Children are brushed aside rather than nourished. Used and abused rather than cherished and cultivated. That's what happens. That's what happens in a hurry-up lifestyle, in a culture that is throwaway, temporary, and superficial. Does it sound familiar? And when the storms of life come, when we've built that way, there are no resources on which to stand. And we cry out with the poet Coleridge, "This soul hath been alone on a wide sea so long it was that God himself scarce seemed there to be. All alone, without foundations." Well, both stories talk about building and about the storms of life and also about the foundations. In fact, the focus of both of these parables are on the foundations. One built on rock and the house stood, the other built on sand and it fell. The crucial choice is the foundation upon which we build. Endurance or collapse, success or failure rest upon the choice of the foundation upon which we build. Nowhere is that more a reality than in family life. You know the name Dr. Nitz Stanit? He's a very great resource on family and family life in this country. He once did an in-depth survey of studying 3,000 families over a period of time, and out of that study he articulated the 6 qualities of foundational traits that build a strong family. And here they are. A strong family is committed to the family. The members of the family are committed to each other. They spend time together. They have good communication with each other. They express appreciation to each other. They are affirming and encouraging. They have a spiritual commitment at the heart of the family. And they are able to solve problems in times of crisis. It's obvious without, when you think about it, that you cannot have a strong family without having those 6 foundational ingredients. But you must note one thing more. To have that kind of family, it must be rooted in a strong foundation. A foundation that is strong and yet flexible, able to bend without breaking, to change without compromise, to hold on in hard times, to trust when triumph turns to tragedy, and to determinedly, doggedly proceed when dreams are denied and you want really to quit. One of the most spectacular sights I've ever seen is the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, and I'm sure many of you have seen it. It's an engineering marvel. I'm not anywhere near being an engineer. I've built a birdhouse once and not a single bird moved into the thing. So I'm not an engineer, but even that bridge is fascinating even to me. It's one of the most widely visited tourist attractions in America. Interestingly enough, the great south pier of the bridge rests directly upon the fault zone of the San Andreas Fault. Now, I wish I didn't know that. The bridge is an amazing combination of flexibility and strength. My friend Earl Palmer, in his book The Enormous Exception, describes the bridge. It is built to sway some 20 feet at the center of its 1-mile suspension span. The secret to its durability is its flexibility that enables this sway. But that is not all. By design, every part of the bridge, the concrete roadway, its steel railings, its crossbeams, is inevitably related from one welded joint to the other, up through the vast cable system to the two great towers and the two great land anchor piers. The towers bear most of the weight, and they are deeply embedded into the rock foundation beneath the sea. In other words, the bridge is totally preoccupied with its foundation. That is its secret. And it's the foundation that gives its flexibility and strength. In fact, Earl Palmer, speaking in this church, said that the bridge bounces up and down like this in the middle, 10 feet, and side to side, 22 feet, so that in a high wind, if you jumped off the bridge here and the bridge was over there, it probably would catch you. Foundations are essential. Well, what quickly now are the foundations for a home? The first is faith. We must have a faith in God that will stand the test of life and see us through. Faith that will give you and me courage when we really want to run away. And you get that at home. You get that at home. It's both taught and caught at home. Abraham Lincoln once said, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." And he's right. The second foundation is hope. Give your children a vision of a distant horizon. It stands out there as a beacon of hope. Christ has made the sure foundation, the cornerstone. We sing that every Sunday. We need something to hope for. You remember that famous line or two from Charles Dickens, The Tale of Two Cities? We all memorized them. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. Life is always contradicting itself. All of us need a spring of hope. Faith and hope, these are the foundations. And you guessed it, the third one is love. Whatever you do, whoever you are, you love your children. The best thing you can do for your children as parents is love them. And the next best thing the parents can do is to demonstrate to the children that they love each other. They love each other. There should be a lot of touching and hugging and verbalizing love in families. And if you grew up in a family that did none of that, learn how to do it. Learn how to do it. It will add a dimension to your life and relationship that will bring health and wholeness to your life and your family. A man and his wife were having difficulties. They went to a counselor. And the counselor, on impulse, looked at this lady who was depressed. She had a long face. She looked like an accident looking for a place to happen. And intuitively, he walked over and just kissed her and embraced her. She lit up like a light bulb all over. And he turned to her husband and said, "Ken, she needs that at least 3 times a week. And the husband said, "Well, I can get her here on Wednesday. She'll have to come in a taxi on..." You know, he missed the whole point. You've got to learn how to love in a family. Learn how to love in a family. Well, I've got to quit now. Jimmy Deacon, the country western singer, was looking through his pocketbook, and you know, like my pocketbook, you know, things ain't get in my pocketbook, they multiply, and for long I can't get it in my pocket, and I have to go through it and look through. That's what he did. And somewhere in there he found a note that he'd written to his mother about all the things he owed to her. And he wrote a country western song, which, while there was a musical background to it, he said the words, and here's what he wrote. "Dear Mom, as today I walk through the museum of memories, I owe you for your time day and night. for your example, consistent and dependable, for your support, stimulating and challenging, for your humor, sparky and quick, for your counsel, wise and quiet, for your humility, genuine and gracious, for your hospitality, smiling and warm, for your insight, keen and honest, for your sacrifices, numerous and quickly forgotten, for your faith, solid and sure, for your hope, ceaseless and indestructible, and for your love, devoted and deep. Friends, our mothers and parents today would be embarrassed if we thought you felt you owed them anything, because after all, Paul said, love does not keep score. There's an old home in South Carolina where I grew up that stands still today, for no one lives there. But I still go there. 3 or 4 times a year I walk through those empty rooms, and then I remember something. I think of times as the night draws nigh of an old house on the hill, of a yard all wide and blossom-starred where children played at will, and when the night at last came down hushing the merry den, a mother would look around and ask, are all the children in? 'Tis many and many a year since then, and the old house on the hill no longer echoes to the childish feet, and the yard is still, so still. But I see it all as the shadows creep, and though many the year have been since then, I can still hear mother ask, are all the children, are all the children in? I wonder if when the shadows fall on the last short earthly day, when we say goodbye to the world outside, all tired with our childish play, when we step out into that other land where mother so long has been, will we hear her ask as of old, are all of the children in? You think about that. And we celebrate Mother's Day together. We give thanks, our Father, for these moments together. We ask your blessings upon us as we go forth now to build strong families for Christ's sake. Amen.